You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
Everybody needs some hand love.
And Hotbox.
Altaholic, wow, extraordinaire.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 36 of The Training Dummies, recorded on March 21st, 2013. My name is Daryl, and I normally play a resto shaman named Hend, but lately I can be found on a destruction warlock named Zend. Original, yes. With me tonight is Rob, who can usually be found playing his Mistweaver, Windwalker, Lady Panda Monk named Holloway. Making the show way better than Rob and I possibly can, we are joined tonight by fellow Canadian Josyla from the Apotheosis Guild and Cannot Be Tamed blog to help us with some log diving.
Whoa.
It worked.
Thanks for having me. I like the applause.
Of course. It's actually real people.
Wow.
It is, yeah. Yeah, they're all sitting behind me. I got all my kids up here. That's what it is. Okay, guys, clap, clap. All right. Well, let's get you to know you a little bit first. So the obvious question, what's your main and how long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
My main is a Night Elf Resto Druid called Josyla, as you said. I started playing Warcraft in the summer of 2006, sort of right around the time Naxx was coming out for the first time. And my druid has been my main for that whole time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Alliance. Man.
Are you disappointed?
In my heart, I am. I can't help. So what is your what's your current role in your guild and your raid?
I am the guild master of Apotheosis, which is a fairly recent thing. I just took over after our last GM stepped down at the end of the last expansion. Also, I am the healing lead in the raid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we raid 25s.
25s?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. How many nights a week do you do that?
3 days for 3 hours each.
So you consider that pretty hardcore or progressive or?
It's fairly progressive, I guess. I mean, I know a lot of the other guilds will raid for, you know, upwards of 12 hours a week. So I think 9 is sort of a good middle ground.
I think we're at 3.
Yeah, we're pushing 4 sometimes, depending on how much coffee and energy drinks people have had.
Right. That's about
it. We're all a bunch of old people.
So what is your raid progression like in Miss?
In tier 14, we went 8 of 16 heroic. So we cleared all of Mogushan Vaults on heroic and then 2 bosses in Heart of Fear. And then in Throne of Thunder, we just killed our 8th boss on Tuesday. So
nice.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I think we're 7 of 16 as of last Friday. For tier 14? So we're rocking.
we leave the tier off to make it sound even better.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're 7 of 16. Yeah.
You discovered the 4 bonus bosses.
Exactly. That's it. Hey, I like that.
Yeah, don't tell anybody yet. All right. So other than raiding, what have you been up to this week?
Other than raiding? Well, we did RBGs last night. Our RBG team just started playing again. This was our second week, and we're a little bit rusty, if I'm going to be honest. We haven't racked up quite as many wins as I'd like, but I think everyone's still readjusting to their class changes and things. I know I am. I haven't been very good so far. But other than that, we're having a bit of an unofficial guild meetup this weekend. A number of people from Apotheosis live in Toronto, and we have about 5 people from elsewhere in Canada or the States all driving down to meet in Toronto, and then a couple people from another guild that we know from Twitter. So we're having a big meetup party weekend.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
And are you far from Toronto?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So you won't be driving down for the
party? No, I'm very far from Toronto. All right, Rob, what have you been up to this week?
I've been up to DK. DKing it all over the place. I have, after having Kristen on, I was inspired and...
Nice.
I think in like, it was like 1 or 2 days, I went from like 470, item level 470-ish to like 484, I think. So I did gripe a lot about how terrible the increased drop rate was, and I threw a fit and rolled around on the ground and cried a little bit, and then all of a sudden I turned around and I had all 5 tier pieces and a couple of trinkets, and I went and finished up a couple of reps, like the Klaxi rep, to get that free ring and stuff. And so I went into the Throne of Thunder LFR, and I had healed it with you guys with some guildies on the monk, but so I went in on the DK and was like, I have no idea what's going on. I'll tank this. And it was pretty cool. It wasn't really that bad at all. You know, there's an awful lot of finger pointing and people flipping out and screaming and crying going on, but it, for the most part, you know, being new content, it was pretty cool. And I kind of like how we're able right now to bring alts up to speed a little bit easier. I feel like we're able to take advantage of that reduced gear cost for the 5.0 factions and fill in some of those holes, so we can at least get our alts into some of the older LFRs and get caught up a little bit. Other than that, I think I've been carrying a certain warlock through some content, through some scenarios and some five mans. I don't know
I don't know what you're referring to. Haven't got a clue.
Yeah. No, it's been good. Had a fun week. Like I said, just been totally rocking the Death Knight. You know, getting the hang of that. Quick story on that. I disconnected earlier in a five man, and I can't remember the name of it. It's the one where you start off inside of the tree and then you work your way up and you go outside and...
Oh, is that Nizao's temple, I think?
Yeah.
So I was doing that. We got to the second boss where you're throwing all the little the little bombs down, right, down the ledge to catch the guys. And I disconnected, like, right as we were in the middle of that. So I was, like, scrambling to hurry up and get back on, waiting for my internet to come back up. Come in, and there was a rogue and a shadow priest that were running around, and they were almost dead. And the boss was at about 82% or so. I was able to jump right back in. Those two guys died right away. I tried to B-res one guy, and then he stood in the poop and died right away. But I ended up soloing that second boss from about 80% all the way down to taking him out myself.
Jeez.
On the Death Knight. So I was like, I was just having a moment, man. I was like, yeah, Death Knight's right on. So, yeah, it was a good feeling. Because you see these videos and you hear all this crazy stuff, but, like, actually being able to do it was really fun. And it took a long time, and the rogue was making his comments about how OP Death Knights are and how ridiculous this is, but whatever, I had fun. So, and what have you been up to?
Well, I got my warlock to 90. I think I was one tick away when we recorded last week. I just didn't have a chance to get it done beforehand. Got my eye level to 456, so not quite LFR. Hopefully Saturday I should be able to get that with a little luck. You didn't mention it, but I guess we kind of did
in the beginning. Man.
But our raid on Friday went very well. Now, I know Josiah said they did heroics and they're like blah, blah, blah and Throne of Thunder, but but we got 3 new bosses down for us. We did Elegon, Will of the Emperor, and Zorlok. And my head grew about 3 sizes on Friday because I pretty much solo healed. Yeah, if that's possible. Because I pretty much solo healed Elegon. It was awesome. The second spark phase, our other healer had died and then got a battle res and then died again. We suspect that she wasn't clearing her stacks off. So she died from the explosions because she just had too many stacks. But anyway, for the second spark phase, I was running in Ghost Wolf, running across the middle so that I could heal both sides before, you know, the floor dropped out. And then we got to the final burn phase, and it was just, it was everything I could do just to keep throwing heals out. But we got it. And then, yeah, we one-shot Will, first time seeing it.
You didn't manage to throw any on me, though, because I had to charity on from the floor.
Our druid had you as a healing assignment, sorry.
Oh. Actually, did you say you one-shot Will?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That's
never
amazing.
Even seen it before. That's on really good. On normal, yeah.
Yeah, we just went in and one-shot it. It was fantastic. Couldn't believe it. And then we did Zorlock. That was, I think it took us two attempts, but we got a weird, on the, what was it, the fourth phase, the bottom, when you're down there. We got weird, random, the abilities. I can't remember what two we got right in a row, but it just threw us for a loop and we were done. So we got it the next one.
I think we had mind control and then attenuation. So it was like two people were just stomping everybody and then. And there was nothing we could do because we were running away from the discs.
Yeah, it was just weird. We got it next one after that, so that was good. And then the Blade Lord, I think we got to like 4 or 5%. That stupid Shaman Healer just could not get through those tornadoes. I don't know what his problem was. But yeah, he just couldn't do it. But neither could half the DPS, so it was kind of bad all around. We should get it this Friday, though, I'm fairly confident.
Yeah, that'd be easy.
Yeah, did some LFR as well, so I'm now 6 of 12 in Throne of Thunder, if you want to count LFR.
See, still staying current, man.
Exactly. And this week as well, I got to see the benefits of the Cross-Realm Zones and having friends on PvE servers. What was it? Monday, you and I grouped with Epic Insanity. He invited us for a group just so we could do our dailies, and it was weird expecting someone to come along and gank us or attack us, but it never happened because we were on a PvE realm. It was amazing. And
yeah,
the next
weird.
Night, yeah,
it was
awesome and weird. And the next night, Jan from Something Suggestive invited us to her group so we could do the same thing. So, yeah, it was pretty easy doing dailies without having to worry or watch your back the whole time. It was a weird feeling, but I liked it.
It was a good feeling.
It was. It really was. But other than that, yeah, that's about it. So let's get moving on.
Deep run tram, last call for mail.
That Walsh, man, that's such a great little segue
it is.
There.
Train and everything.
We got a couple of messages here, or looks like this one's from Facebook. We may have getting caught up on some old ones here, but this is from Arg Buckle on from AIE on the Earthen Ring US, and he says, just finishing up on the Affinity episode, and I have a suggestion for your macro. Would it be possible to set the macro to use the seed slot, the bag slot for your seed? That way you don't even have to edit the macro. For each seed that you want to plant, thanks. And for the Horde, of course. For the Horde.
For the Horde.
But I actually responded back to him on Facebook saying, I think since 5.2 now and the new seed bags, there's not really a lot of need for a macro anymore because I can stand anywhere in throwing distance and plant my entire farm now. So I think that the macro may have been a useful there for a little while, but I think it's kind of gone the way of the buffalo.
But since he did ask about a macro, we're going to answer him, because macros are awesome.
Yes.
But it's actually super easy to use an item in your bag. It's just your bags are numbered 1 to 5, I believe, starting with your backpack. And your slots in your backpack are numbered just like you'd read a book, starting in the top left and 1, 2, 3, 4 the top row, and as you go down. And to be able to use that first slot in your first bag in your backpack, it's just a simple slash use space 1, space 1. And that's it. There's no brackets, no commas, just that's all it is. So it's slash use the bag, and then the slot in the bag is all you're putting. So it's really easy to do.
Nice.
Ah, no. But yeah, it's not really needed with the seed bags. Okay.
I can't believe you still haven't done that, man. You can stand over where the dude used to be. I always forget his name. He's not there anymore for me.
Farmer Yoon.
Yeah, you could stand right there and still plant your entire farm from one spot. So it's awesome.
I got a full crop of herbs from before 5.2 launched that I haven't even harvested yet. One day, soon, I'm sure. All right. Yes, yes. Well, let's start our topic discussion. We have a fancy little intro just for this one, though. It is...
Yes, log. All kids love log.
What rolls downstairs, odor in pairs, rolls over your neighbor's dog. What's great for a snack and fits on your back? It's log. It's log. It's big, it's heavy, it's wood. It's log. It's better than bad, it's good.
Awesome.
Everybody loves a log.
Everybody loves Red and Stimpy too. At least they should. All right. So we're talking World of Logs and how to evaluate yourself or your raid team. We've actually discussed this before in a previous show. I think you have to go all the way back to episode 3. I did a riveting 10-minute paraphrase of Jasila's blog regarding evaluating using World of Logs. No, I don't recommend going back to listen. Trust me, you don't want to. As riveting as it is, you probably don't want to. So anyway, I want to make amends for that 10 minutes. And to do that, we brought the source onto the show tonight to help us with this.
You know, don't sell yourself short, man. That was a really good 10-minute nap I had there. So.
I'm sure it was.
Miss Jasila, so I know that, you know, your progressive raiders and your hardcore raiders and people who have actually been doing it for a while are familiar with this, but for the rest of, you know, people getting into raiding or casual raiding may not know, what is World of Logs?
It's basically a tool that allows people to analyze their performance or the performance of other people. It parses the WoW combat log and turns it into relatively easy to read charts and graphs. Now, easy depending on how much you do it and how familiar you are. But it just gives you all your spell breakdowns, all your spell uptimes, all your cooldown usage, any damage that you take. It just makes it very easy to separate that kind of stuff out and really look at what you're doing.
So what level of rating would you say this is a valuable tool?
I think it can be valuable for any level. I mean, I think most of the people who use it often are probably at a bit of a higher level of rating. But honestly, anyone can have room to improve their performance. So I think it can really be helpful for anyone that raids that wants to do a bit better than they are.
So would you say there's much of a difference between evaluating the different classes? Like if you're looking, knowing people's roles, you know, looking at tank heals and DPS, do you need to know what people are supposed to be doing in order to read this? Or
yeah, there's some basic things that will apply to everyone, like don't stand in the poo, and how much poo did you stand in? So that kind of stuff you can look at for everyone. But you do really need to know the class and spec that you're looking at in order to evaluate them properly. But for each role, like tank heals, DPS, no matter what their role, they have the same kind of specifics to look for, like uptimes on their spells, the use of their cooldowns, you know, the breakdowns of their healing or damage ability usage. So
knowing the class and the roles, et cetera, is useful, but how much does knowing the fight help you in evaluating these logs?
That really helps as well. I think you can get a basic look without understanding the fight, but understanding the fight will definitely help you more. Like, take something like Devotion Aura, which is a paladin's big raid-wide mitigation cooldown. The only problem is that it only prevents magic damage. So if you're looking at a fight like Windlord, his big raid damage is Rain of Blades, which is only physical damage. So that kind of makes Devotion Aura useless. So if I was analyzing my paladin healer and I saw that he'd never used Devotion Aura on that fight, knowing the fight would make me know that it's okay and not, you know, berate him needlessly. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
So I heard that Hint may have provided you with one of our logs here, and that we are going to get run through the ringer a little bit.
Yes, a little bit.
I would love to take a look at this, maybe break it down, and I don't know how many fights or which fights you got a hold of, but
yeah, I got a hold of a few fights.
She has the Elegon one where I solo healed it. By the way, just say it. She has that one.
I do. Yes, and I can see it's a very impressive. Very impressive healing meter there.
Okay, I'm going to clip that out and make a sounder for myself.
He's going to send it. Now it's his new text message alert. It's very impressive healing there.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to look at Imperial Vizier Zorlock just because I find that fight of the three that are on here is the most sort of straightforward fight. There's only one thing to be DPSing other than the mind controls. And, you know, it's got fairly separate phases. So if I just look at that kill in particular, since I'm looking at healers, the first thing I'm going to do is go under dashboard and go see the deaths overview to see how many people you let die. So I see that. So I see that two people died on this fight. So, but I can also see that they took a lot of sonic rings. So, like, if I take the druid, for example, and I click on more, I can see exactly what damage they took and what healing they took. So, I can see that they took about 450,000 damage in 2 seconds. So, I don't think that blame lies with the healers. I think they just need to not stand in the bad. So, you know, you get a pass there. And I also see that healing stream totem was going at that time, which is an excellent thing to drop during attenuation. So, points for that.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
So now I'm going to go to the healing done tab, which is just going to show me the overall healing for the fight. I really like that you guys are both sort of relatively even. So, you know, one person isn't pulling more weight than the other one, so
that depends on the fight. There.
Yeah, don't look at a Stone Guard fight of ours.
Yeah, look at it.
Okay. So I also see for Hend, there's a little arrow next to his name. So if I click on that, then I can see that Stone Bulwark Totem did 423,000 in healing. So that's a positive that you're using your damage mitigation cooldowns. So
isn't that one you spec'd into after we talked with Kevin?
That is the one I spec'd into after we talked with Kevin. Man, yes. Kevin was so brilliant in recommending that.
Yeah, it's a really good ability. I think they even buffed it in 5.2, I'm pretty sure.
Nice. I'll have to check. Sweet.
Awesome.
So that's a good one. Now I'm just going to click through onto Hend here just because I'm a bit more familiar with Shaman than I am with Monks. So here I'm going to click on the Healing by Spell tab so I can see the breakdown of what spells did how much healing. So I see that, you know, a lot of the AoE spells are up top, which is to be expected since for the most part you're in a fairly constricted area. So, you know, healing rain, healing stream totem, those are pretty high on the list. Now, if I go to damage by spell, then I can look at the damage taken. So the one I'm looking for on this, because the only real avoidable damage is Sonic Ring. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go and click right through to Sonic Ring so I can see how much damage everyone took from it. So Hen took 12 hits and Holloway took 10 hits, which is kind of a lot. Like, you didn't die from it, so, you know, that's good. But you want to be trying to not get hit by that or only get hit, you know, a couple times.
Yeah.
So, you know, room for improvement there.
Well, actually, the fight before, like, I'm assuming you're looking at the one where we killed him, correct?
Yeah, I'm looking at the actual
kill. Okay, the fight before that where we had our wipe, I died on the first or the second platform, and I didn't know I died. Over Mumble, our warlock is saying, "I got you, Hand." I'm like, "What do you mean you got me?" I had a huge lag spike. I didn't know I was dead, and he was ready to res me before my lag spike went away. So yeah, I have an excuse for the first fight. I got nothing for the second one, though, unfortunately.
The flask of excuses.
Darn right. I keep that on cooldown.
So I can look at the same thing for Holloway here. Same. Go back to the healing by spell breakdown. Everything looks good. That's some impressive renewing mist. I can't believe how much renewing mist and uplift make up of your healing. That's a bit different than what I see in 25s, but that looks good.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Rod's a little different.
I learned just from doing it, because obviously prior to Mist, there wasn't anything to work off of being a brand new class, but, you know, I've watched Affinity stream a lot, and at this point, I don't even know what the proper monk healing rotation is. I just do what feels good and what beats hand, so.
Yeah, the one thing I like about monks, although it makes it more difficult for me to evaluate, like, I haven't written my monk evaluation post yet just because I don't quite understand them, but I've got two monks in my 25-man raid, and on any given fight, their spell breakdowns can be completely different, but they can be putting out comparable output. So I do like that there are sort of monk styles.
Whereas, yeah, there definitely is, yeah.
Yeah, with the other healing classes, I find there's sort of more of a right and wrong way to do it, whereas monks can, you know, do what they like. So that's good.
I'll do what I like.
Okay, now I'm going to go back to Hen's log here and go on the buffs cast tab, which is one of my favorite tabs for, you know, looking at spell up times and things. So I see here that there's a 91.7% Earth Shield uptime, so that's really good. I can even click on the little pound sign, hashtag, whatever, beside Earth Shield, and I can see all the times that it was up during the fight and when it dropped off during the fight. So it didn't drop off.
Oh, dude, that's kind of awesome.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, so it didn't drop off too much, so that's good. And then everything else looks good. The Riptide uptime and the Tidal Waves uptime, those are all in good levels. Going down a little bit to Unleash Life, I see 9 Unleash Life casts, which isn't bad, because I looked in... I dug deeper. It's not something that shows on this, but you cast 11 Healing Rains. So usually I always tell Shaman, always cast Unleash Life before Healing Rains. So
I do.
You did that's, it. You did
that's
it.
Actually very weird that it doesn't line up, because I don't cast a Healing Rain without Unleash Life. Like, I know it gives me 30% more. I know that. And I make an effort every time to do it. So it's actually kind of funny that it didn't. I just wonder if maybe the cooldowns didn't line up one time or something. I might have been...
Yeah, maybe had to move it or something.
Yeah, I might have cast my Unleashed Life and had to move, and then the next one it was off or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
But that's good. Now, there, on some of the other cooldowns, there is some room. Like, Ascendance was only used once. That could probably be used at least twice in a 7-minute fight. Spirit Walker's Grace, again, only once. I mean, you can use that for every attenuation phase, and that would be pretty good. And ancestral swiftness, which is another thing. I used to always have this problem with nature swiftness, which is basically the same spell for druids. I used to just forget to use it. But yeah, you can up that usage as well. But other than that, everything looks pretty good. So,
see, that's one of those, I think, just looking at it, my mentality on that is that it's an oh crap button, you know? I don't, sometimes I don't look at those as use this on cooldown or be a little more liberal with it, or, you know.
That's true. And I guess with ancestral swiftness, it is a bit different. Like with nature swiftness for the druid, it also increases the amount that your heal does. So it's a good just sort of output cooldown, where I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I understand ancestral swiftness being more of a.
I only use it when I need to, like, I need an instant heal, and I save it for, you know, oh, crap, that's exactly what I save it for. You know, I get the 5% passive buff, but I get that, or passive haste, but it doesn't increase the amount I heal. So, yeah, I save that mainly for just an oh, crap. Same with, like you mentioned, Ascendance. I save that for when I need it, and I'm guessing, you know, in that fight, I only needed to use it the one time.
Right.
Where I, you know, I kind of save it as my oh crap cooldown. Now, is that what I should be doing?
I've always advocated just using your cooldowns as much as you're able to. I find that if you save them for emergencies, they just don't get used as much as they could. Like with Tranquility, some people say, oh, save it for an emergency. But I think it does a lot of healing and it saves me mana because I can just channel it fairly cheaply. So I try to get as many uses out of it as I can. Now, I think, I mean, you said this was the first time you guys had seen the fight. So, I mean, I think knowing the fight more so you can plan out your cooldown usage.
It was the first time we beat him. We've seen him a few times. I don't even want to count how many times we've seen him.
Will the Emperor was the one that we went
shot the time. Yeah, it was like, okay, I don't feel like banging my head against the wall on Elegon. Let's go try Heart of Fear and bang our head against the wall there.
Right.
it's kind of the way it went. So, yeah, we've seen that boss a few times.
All right. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, it's sort of a personal thing about cooldowns. I like to use them as much as possible. I also like the Ghost Wolf use in there. That's handy. So.
Oh, well, yeah, when it's stuff is when you're switching platforms, that's when I use it to get across as quick as possible.
Yep, that's good stuff. Yeah, so that was basically what I looked at for you, Hend. Shaman logs are actually a little bit difficult. There are so many spells that just don't show up here. They don't show up in the healing by spell tab. They don't show up in the buffs cast tab. And you have to actually go use the expression editor or the log browser to find them. Like if I wanted to see how many times you cast Spirit Link Totem or how many times you used Call of the Elements or Manatide Totem, I'd have to specifically search the combat log for all those spells. It's kind of a pain in the butt because it would be really nice if it just showed up in a nice table like the rest of the spells do.
Yeah.
So how do you use that expression editor then?
Okay. I generally use the log browser because it's a little more hand-holding. Than the expression editor. Like, you need to know the correct formatting and everything for the expression editor. So, if you go on under dashboard to the log browser, there'll be a query in there already that says show all events. Just remove that. So I want to say, I'm going to say add query. So I'm going to say the source is Hend. And then I'm going to type in the spell is Manatide Totem. And then the type at the top, the event type, I'm going to say it's a spell cast. So I'll save that, and then I'll run it. And I can see you cast Manatide Totem twice at 3942 and 4152. So that's basically what you need to do for those spells. You have to be fairly granular and fairly specific and, you know,
you have
finding
to go,
exactly
yeah,
what you want.
Yeah, you have to go looking for them.
Exactly.
Okay, okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's the basics of what I look at with World of Logs. I mean, this is good that you're both healers because healer logs is mostly what I do as healer lead. So, yeah, there's also some other cool things in World of Logs. Like if you go under dashboard to analyze and then, doesn't matter, you can do damage done or damage taken, whichever. And this is a cool thing you can do because you can narrow the time span of the log, so you don't have to look at all 7 minutes. So I can say I'm going to take 2240 to 2241, highlight that, and then say zoom in with tables, and then I can see just, you know, the spells you cast at that time or the damage you took at that time. So if I know that there was some big event, like some big raid damage or someone died at that time, I can narrow the view to see what happened. And that applies to the combat log too. So I would only see the spells and things cast in that time frame.
Okay. So what else can we do with this then? That's one thing. What else is there?
What
else? Like fill our brains.
Fill your brains.
Overload us.
Another thing I like that's just sort of a quick at-a-glance thing is if you go back and look at the full report and then go to the dashboard on the full report, that page is pretty useful. You can see just where the damage came from over the course of the raid. One thing I really like is this. Even if you look at it for one fight specifically, you can see all the dispels used, which is a really good way to see which of your healers are dispelling and which are not, especially on the trash before Will, where people get frozen. And
yes, that one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty high number I have there, Rob.
What?
I see 39 on mine and only 10 on yours. Just saying. For dispels.
Dude.
I think monks are allergic to dispelling, in my experience.
That could be.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. No, dispelling has never been my strong suit. So.
Ooh, it's got the interrupts here, too. See, Taz isn't lying. He gets a lot in there.
We have a warrior tank who uses, I think I can count on one finger how many add-ons he uses. And he is so mad because we always use the announcer ones. Like, I interrupted, you know, and he's like,
yeah.
He's like, you guys are not, you guys, your add-ons say that whether you get it or not. I'm the one who called the interrupting here. So,
yeah, it's a mini competition to see who actually gets the interrupt off.
Right.
Yeah, we have a metagame for sure.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it when I can, as a healer, do things before people. Like, I can soothe, so I can remove enrage effects, and I like I get to that before other people do. Like, I'm soothing, I'm healing, I'm keeping y'all alive. Come on, guys.
Exactly.
So another thing on, from here, if you go under dashboard to survivability, that's going to show you your whole raid survivability for the entire night, which is pretty good to look at. So if you look at the column on the far right, you're going to see basically how much everyone lived. So,
That's cool.
Yeah. So the second druid was only had 69.4% survivability for the night, which is not very much. And this is, it's just bosses. I don't think it counts trash. But yeah, if you look at anyone and you can see, you know, if their percentage number is bright yellow, that means they basically live for the entire fight. And then as it changes color into red, it meant that that person died early. And you can just mouse over any of those numbers and you can see what those three last sources of damage they took that killed them. So that's a pretty nice way to just get a glance at who's living and who's dying.
Oh, that's really cool. That is so cool. Yeah, see, I've never looked at that before, but that's... Oh, look at that. Rob died on Elegon. 75% only.
Yeah, so that's most of what I look for. I don't know. Do you have any other questions about specific things? Or?
I don't.
What about overhealing? Did you?
Oh yeah.
I know I fell off the call for a couple seconds there, but I don't think you covered that while I was gone. What do you know? What's an acceptable percentage for each class? I know monks tend to, and I'm sure druids too, tend to overheal like a champ, because
I generally don't pay much attention to overheal. I find that it's I don't know. Like, there's so many spells that are just going to be high on overheal, like the hots, like Renewing Mist, yeah. Things like that. You're not going to be able to help that. I mean, it's just going to happen. And those kind of things sort of push your general overhealing to, you know, a higher number than we'd like. Like, no one wants to see 50% overheal, but at the same time, unless you are underhealing the encounter, you're going to be overhealing it. So.
Yeah, if you're running out of mana, then you want to start looking at your overhealing and where it's happening. And...
Yeah, like, there are some specific spells, like, what kind of, like, any sort of direct heals, you don't want to see a huge amount of overheal on that, because you're picking who you're healing and you're timing it yourself, whereas a lot of the sort of hots or smart heals or whatever, they'll just jump around, and if they happen to, if, you know, it hits five people and only three people actually need to be healed, then, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about that, and you're not going to stop casting it just because of that, so.
Right.
I know with, like you mentioned, Renewing Mist, that's like, for me, that's a huge, huge thing, so I try and really keep that up as much as possible, so that's always gonna, it's always gonna be a huge source of overhealing for me.
Yeah, all my druid hots are the same way. Rejuvenation does a ton of overhealing, and same like something like Healing Rain, because that's just gonna just sit there and heal everyone whether they need it or not. So you really can't control that.
Get out of the Healing Rain. You're at 100%.
You're screwing with my numbers. Get out.
And that would be the day when healers are telling people to get out of the ground heals.
Oh, you're making me look bad.
even our DPS know in our raids, they start yelling to stack up for heals. Sometimes you'll hear like our warlock, stack up for heals.
All right, Rob, you got any more questions on world vlogs?
No, man. I think that was already in just those couple of minutes. I had already gone into some menus and saw some pretty cool stuff that I hadn't really checked into before. I think that was, it's going to be really useful. I don't think you're going to be able to post any more BS and get away with it. And so this is, so.
Elegon. That's all I got to say. I'm going to hang on to that one, for. Dude. I'm going to hang on to that for the whole expansion.
Yep. That was just straight epic. That was wonderful. We did have a couple of Twitter questions. So Elamari, who is a feral druid, that's what he plays in general. So that, okay. If you want to take that into consideration, he says, I've always had trouble figuring out uptime of spells. Can you discuss that? Examples like bleeds or dots. Cheers. And I think that's probably going to play out a little bit like looking at the uptime of your healing spells, right?
Yep, it's similar. The there's actually two ways to see it. So if you want to go to, you know, the specific player you're looking at, like if it's yourself, I'm going to look at one of my logs from my last raid, and I will look at our feral druid. So I am going to go on him for a specific kill. And in the damage by spell tab, there's gonna be a column for overheal. So, like rake, I assume feral druids want to have up as much as possible. So if I go and look at rake and go quite a far ways over to the right, there's a column that says uptime. So I can see here that it had 80% uptime. Any other kind of bleed or dot, like rip as well, has the same thing. So you can see that either on that damage by spell tab or on the buffs cast tab under debuffs, you can also see all your uptimes there. So I can see like fairy fire 100%, rake 80%, rip 50%. So I can see.
Oh, yeah. It actually shows some different ones too, like on the debuffs. I'm looking at Hoofits right now. He's our bear tank, so I'm looking at some of his stuff.
Yeah, and again, you can use that trick I mentioned earlier. If you click on the pound symbol next to what you're looking for, you can see where it is, where it fell off. Even if there's something where there's more than one ad, if you mouse over the little green bars that come up when you press that pound symbol, it'll say who the rake is on, or the dot, whichever you're looking for.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you want to see specifically, like if it is a boss with ads and you just want to see the boss, that's a little bit harder. It's easy to do if you're the only one who provides that dot, but if there's multiple people who do it, then you're not going to get an accurate answer for just yourself. But you can look at, say, the boss. So I'm going to look at Primordius here. And the boss and the creature panels are just like when you're looking for a player. So if you want to go damage by spell there, and I can see every bit of damage done to the boss. And then if I find Rip, I'll just do a search for it because there's so many things, it'll say what the uptime of Rip was specifically on the boss. Yeah, I haven't figured out a better way. Like if you've got two feral druids, I haven't figured out how to distinguish who had what uptime on the boss, but
so even if you drill down into one specific person and look at theirs, it's not gonna distinguish between their Rip and the other one's Rip?
It'll distinguish their Rip, like their overall uptime. So on a fight with just one boss, that's perfect. But if, you know, there's a boss and then there's a whole bunch of little ads, you won't be able to tell how much it was up on the boss versus the ads.
Okay.
We have another question here from SoCalWowGal on Twitter. She says, does Jasila use any external programs, Excel perhaps, to parse and analyze the logs?
I don't use Excel or any spreadsheets or anything, but there is another program, just a browser thing. It's called CompareBot, which is part of RaidBots, which is a site that I really like. If you want to compare logs, like earlier we had some shaman. My raid goes through Resto Shaman like tissue paper. Like they don't stick. Uh-oh. I don't know what it is. I scare them away or something. But we can't keep one. We've had 5 this expansion. So, and we don't have any now. But
our raid's had one. Yeah. And that's all we need.
We've had one since vanilla.
That's all we can handle.
Exactly.
I played mine. That's probably up until you know, me getting my Death Knight geared up again. My shaman has been a close second this whole mist in terms of gearing and playtime. And I love Resto Shaman. I think it's a great healing class.
Yeah, it seems I'd like to play mine a little bit more because it looks really fun, and it looks like there's a lot of planning involved and so much interaction between how the spells work together. I like that. So
your job is to get your monk leveled up. That's
I'll try. So CompareBot, it's just raidbots.com/comparebot. You can compare to World of Logs parses. So say I was evaluating, how did I get started on the shaman? Oh yeah, I was evaluating a shaman in my guild, and it was at the beginning of the tier, so I wasn't completely up on, you know, what exactly they should be doing. So I took a parse from a boss fight from the shaman in my guild, and then I found like a ranked parse on World of Logs, and I compared them. So if you use this tool, you can just directly compare two logs. You can see how many times each person cast each spell or used each cooldown or did everything. So that's a really good way, I find, whether you're looking at someone else or yourself, to improve. Like if you compare yourself with someone who's doing better than you, that's a really good way to find, to spot the differences and see what they're doing that you're not doing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's actually, yeah, that's a really good tool. That's, I might have to try that.
You're the one that linked it on our forums, dude.
Did I?
Yeah, it's right there with our link to our World of Logs.
I think Taylor, I think our GM adjusted my post. I don't remember posting that. If I did, it was years ago. When did I make that post?
I don't know, but you should. I'm surprised you just didn't take credit for it already.
I mean, yeah.
I knew all about that.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I totally said that.
All right, I have one final question. Mm-hmm. Okay, you looked at mine and Rob's logs.
Yep.
Give us a rating out of 10. How did we do?
Uh-oh.
I think you both did pretty well. I think...
Give it to me straight.
Give it to you straight. I'm gonna give you both 8s.
8s?
8s, all right.
Yeah. I think your healing done was well. It was good. You kept everyone alive that you could keep alive. I mean, the people who just insisted on standing in bad, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about them. There's some cooldown usage that could come up. Like, I did not see any uses of fortifying brew on that Zorlock hill, for example. So, you know, damage mitigation, that's something I really like to harp on.
Yeah. I was one of the last ones alive, so I was kind of like, I don't really need my damage.
Right.
So, yeah, I think...
I'll take it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that... I think that's going to take us into a brand new segment that we're starting this week. We have... We've had a lot of people write in and ask and talk about PvP, and I know I'm usually pretty hard on it because I'm not good at it. So I'm just gonna be real for a minute. I'm mean because I suck at it. So we have scoured the interwebs and got in contact with some good friends, and Kim Scally is going to start doing a weekly segment for us. And this is going to be the first edition here, so we present you here at the Training Dummies with our brand new PvP segment, Crowd Control.
Hi there, welcome to the Crowd Control PvP segment of the Training Dummies podcast. My name's Kim, and I'll be here talking about PvP with you for the next 5 minutes or so. So as this is the first segment, I thought the best idea would be to give you a kind of introduction as to how to get into PvP. The first stop should always be to pick up some crafted gear. You can pick up the Dreadful Gladiator gear at the auction house for about between 120 gold and 1000 gold, depending on your server and what you need to buy. If you can make them, even better. 4 pieces will secure you both set bonuses. The 2-piece bonus is 500 PvP power and class specific bonus. The 4-piece bonus is plus 1000 PvP resilience and another class specific bonus. For example, my priest bonus is movement increased by 60% for 5 seconds after using dispersion for the 2 set, and for the 4 set, whenever vampiric touch is dispelled, the dispeller and enemy players within 6 yards appear for 3 seconds. So you know they're pretty good. Also, the malevolent gear carries the same set bonus, so if you replace a piece of your crafted gear with malevolent, you won't be losing out on any set bonus, which is pretty good. All right, so the next part I would suggest is, you know, changing your thought process. PvE to PvP requires a different mindset. You can't necessarily treat a battleground the same way as you would a boss encounter, because it's never going to happen the same way twice. 10 different players or 40 different players, it's unlikely that you'll be presented with the same situation twice. You can't guarantee that. So you have to be thinking about your abilities and your awareness to your class. And other classes for that matter. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you should read up on every single class and learn everything that you need to know, but when that warlock hits you with a cool green whooshy spell that critically hit you for 100k, you're going to want to know what that was, so that you can anticipate it and do something to hopefully avoid it. Playing with different classes as well can be a great help. If you've got a few different classes, get on them and, you know, have a mess around, see what kind of abilities that they have that are going to present a problem for you. I'm not suggesting read up on everything, like I said, but, you know, just use your common sense. If there's something that you know that DK can do that you can do something about, do it and have it down on your bar and make sure that you're using it. The next suggestion I would make is, you know, check out what each battleground is going to require from you. If it's capture the flag or resource base, find out what it is that you're going to have to do, because there is nothing worse than getting into a battleground and having no clue what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And it ends up causing frustrations and things like that. So check it out. I have a basic guide on my blog at kimscally.com. If you want something more technical and in-depth, at WowSinWise on Twitter has a great collection of strategies and guides. Right, so after you've done all that, the next thing you should start doing is getting into the battlegrounds and start grinding some honour. The suggestion I would make is to queue for both battlegrounds and heroics, because the battlegrounds, on my server at the moment, the battlegrounds usually pop every 2 minutes, and the heroics take a little bit longer because I'm a DPS class. I usually queue for a battleground. By the time I'm done with that, the heroic has popped and you're going to get some justice points from it. The reason I suggest that you do heroics is because justice points can be downgraded to honour points at the honour vendor. 375 justice points buys you 250 honour. Every little bit helps when you want to get the gear that little bit faster. The last thing is, don't expect to walk into a battleground and get all the kills and never die. You're going to die a lot in the beginning. All PvP players have to persevere through the gearing process, and it is a steep learning curve too. It takes time and persistence. You have to stick with it. And once you do stick with it and you get used to it and you start enjoying it, it is a completely different playstyle to the rest of Warcraft. And, you know, it makes it a new game for you. But above all else, you have to have fun. It can be really frustrating at times, but don't let it discourage you, because, you know, it is a really good, fun, exciting way to play, and it's never boring. If anything else, it is never boring. Alright, that's it for this segment. I'd just like to take a couple of seconds to say a big thank you to the guys at Training Dummies for including this segment. And if you want to contact me, you can do it on Twitter at Kim Scally, or via the Training Dummies website in a voicemail or an email. I look forward to hearing from you guys, and thank you once again.
Alright, that was awesome.
Dude, I'll tell you what, I've never actually wanted to PvP before, but... That accent, man, I am just a sucker for those.
I agree. Man. I would totally PvP all the time if she would just talk to me.
I know.
I know. Yeah, totally.
Through this. Just, yeah.
Know, tell me what to do.
I love it. Yeah, so make sure, like Kim said at the end there, if you guys have any specific questions, any you know, class-specific stuff or any arena questions or whatever, you know, she covers a huge variety of stuff, and get those questions over to us, and we will have her pick those up and answer them for you.
All right, so let's move on to this.
Battle of the week.
All right, so this week's macro of the week is a simple focus macro. What it does is it sets your focus on a mouse over, which is really handy. I have this bound to one of my top mouse buttons, and so I don't even need to target mob that I want to focus. I can just press this button on my mouse and it'll focus it. But what it'll also do is it'll clear my focus if I want to change focus or I just want to clear it. I don't need it anymore. I can click off on nothing. If I click on nothing, it'll clear my focus and it's gone. So I will put this up on the Macro of the Week section for everyone to start using, because you should. Macros are awesome.
True facts.
True facts. All right. Let's get into some of this then.
A handler, it's funky cause he's Canadian. Well, handler.
So if you listen to the last episode, you can hear the full version of that song at the end. And I totally recommend it. All right. I'm going to send some head love to our Hoarderlies, or to our Guildies, the Hoarderlies, on the Deathwing server. As well to Root, who wrote that song, and Freckleface, they're from the Hearthcast podcast. I'm probably stealing all of Rob's here as well. But I also want to send some head love to Jangasm from Something Suggestive, and Epic Insanity from the Epic Questions podcast, as they were the ones who let me and Rob join their group for some PvE dailies, which was the easiest dailies I've done since this expansion started, I think.
You left out one really, really important one.
Which was that? Oh, I did too. Oh, terrible. Okay, I'm going to sneak it in. I also want to send some head love to Jasila for joining us on the show today to talk about parsing logs and World of Logs. Thank you.
Yay.
That's not even what I was talking about.
Really? Who are you talking about? Well, I think mine was more important.
I was expecting you to send out some hen love to yourself for solo healing Delicon this week.
I should. So, you're right.
I will do that for you. I'm going to send out a huge, like, bathtub full of hand love over to Hand himself for carrying us through old raid content.
Man, there's so many clips I need to cut out. Thanks to Hand for carrying us. Man, I'm so making that. See, that's going to be my text message whenever you send me a text, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Forget context.
Exactly. Who needs it?
Of course, all of our Twitter and Facebook friends for keeping this discussion going and for sending in your questions and everything. This is really why we get to do this show, because you guys interact and bring us a lot of this really, really great stuff for us to cover. So I really appreciate it. And to echo what Hint said already, Jan and Epic both for saving our pathetic PvP butts and dragging us over to your realms so we can actually get those dailies done, because people are terrible on Deathwing. But you know what? I'm going to have to pick a tune. I was actually talking to Kim, and she mentioned me having to step up to the plate and try out some PvP. So I'm going to have to pick a tune here pretty soon and figure that out. So. But yeah, you guys are awesome, and yes, Jasila, for coming on, man, it was great, great, great information. I know when we tried to cover it, it was not nearly as easy on the ears. So we appreciate you being here with us.
No problem. That was a lot of fun.
And what shout outs or hen love do you have?
What hen love do I have? Well, I have to shout out my guild, Apotheosis, for being pretty awesome, especially this week. Two new boss kills on Tuesday, hopefully some more on Sunday. Yeah, and thanks to you guys for inviting me here. That was fun.
No problem. All right, we actually have some 5-star reviews this week, which is a change from recent weeks. But before that, we have a voicemail from TJ, who we actually dedicated our Hen Love song to last week, so I will play that here now. Another awesome accent, by the way.
Hi guys, it's TJ Spanks here from Twitter, or Spanks from the Converter Aid Guild on Airy Peak. Just wanted to leave you guys a message to say thank you for the awesome love song dedication. that you sent out to me at the end of episode 35. It really made my day. I was actually listening to it on the way home from work and almost had an accident the way I was screaming when I heard my name at the end of the podcast. Thank you also for an awesome podcast. It gives me so much information and makes me laugh every week when I hear it. And thank you also for your social butterflyness on Twitter. That also is a good source of entertainment. So keep up the good work, and love to you both.
Man, it's a good thing some of these folks aren't actually in our guild. I wouldn't get anything done.
Exactly.
Well, I would just be like, talk some more, please. And we do have a America 5-star review from Zero Effect 44 called No Bribe Necessary. And he says, he, she, I'm assuming he, has been listening to the show for the last 20 episodes or so and loving it. I'm a longtime WoW player since launch and still learning new things from your show. Mouse over macros for the win. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to each new episode. Stone Paws, level 90 Windwalker Monk. Silverhand, U.S. I got, that's some monk love right there. You get a bro fizz, Stone Paws. Keeping it real.
We also have a 5-star review from Australia. Now, I wonder if this is TJ. It doesn't say. I'm guessing no, but you never know. I guess this one's from Lilo XII, or as maybe Lilo 7. Number one in my 12. Podcast rotation.
12. 12.
Oh, yeah, 7 would be VII. Wow. Man, I screwed that right, up. Man. Yeah.
That's one of those things I think you learn in elementary school and you never use it again. So,
pretty much. Anyway, number one in my podcast rotation. Great and informative. Everything that is worth knowing is covered in this great podcast. Especially love the macros.
Macros!
Exactly. Thank you guys for those 5-star reviews. We appreciate every single one of them. That was that's awesome.
Now, we are still going with the contest that we announced last week. Hans and I have talked about needing to get a little more, some guidelines or something up on our site. But what we want you to do for Ask Mr. Robot is to show us your AMR love and how you're using their site or success stories. Basically, send us a screenshot of you using any of their features. Or describe your favorite feature, or tell us a story about how the Ask Mr. Robot team has helped you. And we really want to know, because I know it's really made a huge difference for some of our guildies and me and our raid team. So send those goodies over to our email address, theshow@thetrainingdummies.com, or post it on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies.
All right, Josiah, now is your chance to pimp your stuff. Let everyone know how they can get a hold of you, find your blog. I think you have a couple blogs, at least. I know there's a food one where you have a couple recipes I'm wanting to try. But yeah, let everyone know all about that stuff.
All right. You can find me in a few places. You can find me on Twitter at Josiah_. My WoW blog is cannotbetamed.com. You can find all my World of Logs stuff on there. There's a link right at the top of the page. I also do have a food blog, which has been kind of ignored for a little while. I obviously need to cook more, but it is damngoodfood.net.
Yes.
Yeah, one of my guildies that's coming this weekend, he has sort of forced me into making him mac and cheese. He just wouldn't
give
it up.
I so want to try that recipe. I've been looking at that going, man, that looks so good. I plan to try that one.
It is really good. And then my guild is Apotheosis, which is apotheosisnow.com/main is our main page, and we are recruiting a few DPS. We could use a Death Knight would be cool, or a Rogue, or an Enhancement Shaman. Feral Druid, maybe even more ranged. You know, we're pretty open. DPS or a Resto Shaman, if anyone there wants to try their hand at that and see if they can break the curse.
But you cannot have ours.
All right. yeah, that's it.
Well, I believe that does it for episode 36 of the Training Dummies. Man, we're about to enter midlife crisis here pretty soon.
No.
Be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com. We post our macro of the week over there, as well as any other macros we discuss during the show. So while you're there, please leave comments on the episodes or the macros, or send us a voicemail using the fancy little widget on the right-hand side of the page. You don't even have to install anything. You just click it and talk, and like just like magic, we put it on the show. We try to be social media butterflies, so why don't you join us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies or follow the show at Training Dummies on Twitter. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And underscore Hoarderlies. And as always, like I said, we love to get the emails, the voicemails. Send them on over to the show at thetrainingdummies.com.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
Howdy, folks. Medicakes and Lignar here from Epic Podcast, and we wanted to take a moment to tell you about an event that's coming up.
On April 6th, we're going to hold a 24-hour live stream to raise money for Child's Play Charity.
Child's Play is a charity that works with the staff of over 70 hospitals worldwide to give games, toys, books, and other fun stuff to kids they're caring for.
We want to game with you as much as possible during the marathon, but we're also holding a pet battle tournament and a StarCraft Heart of the Swarm tournament. The prizes include a Mesopandaria Collector's Edition, in-game pets, mounts, donations on your behalf, Jinx.com gift cards, as well as a lot of other prizes.
Registration is now open for tournaments. You can send an email to epicpodcastpluspets@gmail.com for rules and instructions on how to enter the Pet Battles tournament, and epicpodcastplushots@gmail.com for the Heart of the Swarm tournament.
It all starts at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Savings Time on Saturday, April 6th. We're really looking forward to helping raise awareness and money for this very worthwhile charity, as well as seeing you during the marathon. Till next time, have fun and wow, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Once there was this girl who didn't like the idea of using mouse over macros, but when they finally made her, she had topped all the charts in her A group. It's all because she listened to the Training Dummies.